Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Beauty in the Bush. My name is Adrienne Lee. I am your host, and today's episode is a very, very fun one. I sat down and chatted with a couple of my friends. You are about to meet Brooke and Whitney. And if you guys are listening on Spotify, I would recommend pulling up the YouTube version. I'll link it in the show notes below. But it's just so much better to watch this interview. It's not even an interview. We're just chatting in my living room, but my cat is hanging out with us. We give a couple examples that are like much easier to understand when you are viewing. So I would recommend popping on over to YouTube. While you're there, please subscribe, like the video, and comment your favorite part. We go all over the place in this episode, and actually it's a two-parter, so you're gonna hear from us again next week. With that in mind, we do end this episode quite abruptly, so look forward to next week when we finish our conversation. And let's see, what do we talk about? We go through our entrepreneurial journeys, we talk about our whys, and the whole essence of this episode is Instagram versus reality when running a business, like how glamorized it looks online and just how real and challenging it is in real life. So we talk about it all. I have all my notes here. I wrote down so many little tidbits that I'll put down in the show notes, but also I'm going to be teasing them on our Instagrams. So if you are not following us on Instagram, I will link all of our pages down below so you can connect with all of us. But without further ado, let's go ahead and hop on into that episode. Welcome to Beauty in the Bush. This podcast is for estheticians who want to take their career into their own hands and become estepreneurs like me. I'm Adrienne Lee, aka the Estepreneur over on Instagram, and I love helping estheticians step into their CEO energy, implement systems and processes within their business, and utilize the power of social media to build and make impact within their business. If that sounds like something that you'd be interested in, keep on listening. Okay, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
I am joined by Miss Brooke and Whitney. Would you like to do a little intro?
Let's go.
Okay.
Sure.
Who's going first?
So thank you for having me. I'm excited
thank
to be here.
For being here.
So my name is Brooke, and I am a branding and web designer. And recently moved to Dallas and got to meet these two beautiful ladies at a conference at the end of 2023. And yeah, it's been fun. It's fun to have people that are not even necessarily in your same industry, but just like entrepreneurs with you to get mm-hmm. to know. So excited to be here.
Yay, thank you so much for being here.
And I'm Whitney. Also, if you've been around, if you're watching The Bush, you've probably seen me because we're around. We're basically neighbors.
Yeah.
And so I'm a hairstylist and salon owner, and I also help other salon owners build better teams. So I'm excited to be here as well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks
just
for
a good
being
girl
here.
Gang. And
yes.
We were at coffee just, you know, catching up, and we were like, this conversation is so gold. We need to share it with the world. So we're not going to have the same exact conversation.
Because we can't remember it. We don't know what we're talking about.
We don't. But we do know that we have a lot to say about entrepreneurship. And so we're thinking for today, our topic is going to be...
Oh, me.
Your podcast.
Yes, yes. Okay. So Brooke's idea, right? Was it your idea?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Instagram versus reality of owning your own business, because you guys know everything is glamorized on the internet, and shit is just not like that. Honestly, it's just not ever like that. So I think let's give a little background in our entrepreneurial journeys too, just so people know kind of like how I'm doing this.
Yeah, and I think actually that's kind of one of the reasons I love this conversation, because even in my own story, I feel like Instagram versus reality is really prevalent because it looks like things happen really fast. And I'm like, no, if only you knew. So my background, I mean, how far back do we want to go?
I guess, like, when did entrepreneurship become
a top
thing in your life?
So, let me, where it all makes sense, I'll bring you back to college. My degree is actually in public relations. Not doing public relations, but my degree's in PR, and I remember my senior year, I was, like, up until 3 a.m. working on a project, as, you know, you do, and these two girls came across Facebook at the time, and they called themselves the Bucket List Bombshells, I think. Like, I don't necessarily follow them anymore. I wonder what they're up to, if you're out there.
Yeah.
But one of them was a social media manager, and the other was, I think, a copywriter. And they literally just traveled the world and worked from their laptops. And I was like, wow, I want to do that. Yeah. I, like, want to do that. And yeah. No one in my family is an entrepreneur. Now, yes, but, like, at that time, no. Mm-hmm. My parents both have very good but, like, practical jobs. And so I was like, I want to do that, but, like, I don't know what I could do, and, like, how could that ever be me? And so, you know, moved on with my life. My senior year, I took 2 design classes, fell absolutely in love with design, but I was like, I am not starting over in my, like, I graduate next semester. Yeah. It is what it is. Like, I'm a PR major. It is what it is. So I continued to self-teach myself that after I graduated, did freelance jobs here and there, moved to New York City, continued to freelance in a bunch of different industries. I'm very multi-passionate. I did makeup artistry for a long time. I did fitness for a while. Like, I've kind of done it all. The whole time, still knowing I want to work for myself, I don't know how I'm going to do it, still dabbling in design, and I never really took it seriously as a business, though, because I was like, how can I make a living off of this? I'm charging $200 for a logo. And, like, if you know, you know, like, you're not going to live off of that. So, like, we've learned and we've priced it up. It's a lot of logos. So I was like, no. So I did the corporate job thing, and I, you know, went through my journey, and what happened was I just kept finding myself very unhappy.
Yeah.
In every experience I had, and at my last corporate job, I just had this wake-up call moment where I was like, you know what, like, I'm the only common denominator here, and all of the shitty things that happened to me, like, they were all very valid, and I had my very valid reasons for hating the situations I was in, but I was like, you are the common denominator, Brooke. Like, you are the only person that's going to get you out of this, so it's going to be up to you to make a different action to get a different result. So I started to, like, find this entrepreneur space on TikTok at the time.
Oh. So what year is this?
This is 2020.
Okay.
Like, we're also mid-COVID, mid-pandemic. Like, my husband got furloughed. I'm grateful that I didn't. I was still working at my corporate job, but because of that, I was working my position and multiple other positions, and I was burnt out and overworked and overtired and loved my husband, but he was making more money than me on unemployment, and I was working a million hours a week to cover all these things, and I was like, something's got to give.
Yeah.
So the thing that I did differently from all of the years before where I was freelancing is I went online and I found this community of entrepreneurs, and I was like, oh.
It, like, unlocked something.
It unlocked something. I was like, there's, like, all these people trying to do this, because, yes, I had found, and, like, that I said, like, looking back, the universe tried to put that in front of me my senior year when I found these Bucket List Bombshells.
Aww.
And I remember buying a course from them at some point in those years of freelancing, but, like, never, it never stuck. So I found this community, and I was like, oh. And that is literally when everything changed. So at the end of 2020 is when I, like, deep dove, and I was like, I'm going to do it. So I started posting online. I joined this mentorship that, like, I could not afford at the time, but I was like, I know how to design at this point, but I don't know how to run a business. How do you start a business? How do you get clients? How do you keep your books? How do you do workflows? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I found a mentorship. I joined the mentorship, and it started February 2021.
Okay.
And I was able to quit my job by April of 2021, like April 30th.
Wow.
So
that's a quick turnaround.
Instagram versus reality, it looks like my journey was 2 months. When I'm like, no, I was doing freelance for years. Mm-hmm. There's so many years worth of work that I put in to it before that quitting moment came.
Mm-hmm.
But on the surface level, my story looks very quick.
Yeah.
And I want to know, how much was the mentorship?
It was only like $5,000. But to me at that time, living in New York City, shoebox apartment, my husband was furloughed. Like, my salary was like not that great. Like, it was more than we had to spend. Extra.
But I think it's important for the audience to know, like, it
takes money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To
make money.
Yes. And to invest. Like, that's a pretty hefty investment. I remember one of my first courses I bought was $3,000, and my husband was
what are you doing?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think, like, we all know college costs, like, anywhere between 40, 60, thousands. 80, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars, and so I think it's important for people to know it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Don't just figure, I mean, yes.
You don't just fall into this, and you don't just get lucky, and you don't just, like, have a knack for it. Maybe some people do, and, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, and somebody told me recently that the longer your path to success is, the more chances of you falling off. Because
I believe that.
And so by you getting a mentor, by you getting a course, by you getting a coach, those things shorten your path to success, which means that you might reach it quicker, which means you're less chances of, like, hitting a roadblock and falling off.
Yeah.
And I had been doing freelance on the side for years. Now, was I taking it as seriously? No, but that's the key. That's the point. Like, when I was like, okay, like, I'm going to spend this money, and luckily, like, my husband is very supportive, and he was like, okay, like, if you say so, but I, like, have never shown up to something so hardcore.
Because you're so invested.
Because I invested. I was like, I have to put my mouth where my money is at this point, like, flipping that saying, because I was like, this can't be a sunk investment. This can't be something that I buy, because, like, all the things I had bought in the years leading up, again, I had bought that course from those girls that I had found in college at some point in that five-year stint, and I think their course was, like, $600, which I love, because it was really accessible, and also, $600 was still a lot of money to me at that time, but, it wasn't so much that it made me do it. I never finished it. Like, I still couldn't tell you, and, like, no shade to that course, I'm sure it's amazing, but I never finished it, but when I spent grands, I was
sometimes it takes a hefty
we
investment.
Gotta do this. Yeah. Like, we gotta do this.
Get the shit rolling.
Yes.
Put the fire under your ass.
Put the fire under your ass. Help you show up. Yeah. And truthfully, like, I have not been showing up to the investment that I made.
I feel like you have.
Okay, well, I feel like I need to be like,
we could do more for
let's
sure.
Go.
I feel like.
But that's how
everyone can always do
me,
more.
Right?
I think, no, like, even knowing you from October to knowing you now, you're a different business owner.
Oh, thank you.
So give yourself grace.
I'm a different person.
Yes. Yes. Period.
She had a death and she was reborn.
Yes. Before we get into me, I did want to call something about your story because I think it's intriguing.
Okay.
When you were, like, in your mindset shift and you're like, you talked to yourself and you said, Brooke. You're the only common denominator.
Ooh, yeah.
And I think that's important to point out because sometimes we get so stuck in looking at our lives this way that you have to pull yourself out and talk to yourself like you're a different person for it to be, like, so serious.
Yeah. So this isn't going to make sense for anyone just listening to the podcast, but if you're watching, when you, like, looking at your life and experiencing your life, it's kind of like, and then kind of shifting to the outside perspective experience, it's kind of like you trying to look at the palm of your hand, but it's right here. And you're like, I can't see anything. What are you talking about? But you can straight up look at my hand right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. Sometimes you have to, like, out of body, take yourself out of the situation and look at it from a third party perspective.
And I think that's that self-awareness.
Like,
being self-aware, getting yourself removed, and being able to look at the situation overhead instead of, like,
And also, like, we can see your hand, right? But also being able to recognize it yourself and not getting advice from every corner, talking to others,
100%.
But not like, oh, so-and-so said this. Do you want so-and-so's life? Because if you don't want their life, don't listen to them.
That is the best piece of entrepreneurship advice you will ever get. Like, don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade lives with to some capacity, you know?
For sure. So, wanted to mention that because I thought that was, like, gold, and we kind of just grazed over that. So, I really never wanted to be an entrepreneur, which is hilarious. Like, I got my cosmetology license in high school, and I thought that I was just going to do hair to go through college and get my real job. And
what was that going to be?
Yeah.
I can't imagine you as anything.
No, I know. Like, I think I was going
to
go to school for business.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I was like, I don't know. Like, I just was doing what I was being told to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, like, feeling really, like, ashamed and not good enough that, like, all the kids in school, they would put where they got accepted to college up on the walls, like, in the hallways. And I'm like, I applied to get accepted just, like, to prove people, like, I can get accepted. Because everybody got a t-shirt accepted.
Aww.
And so I was like, I want to get the t-shirt and like, I want to feel like I'm good
part
enough.
Part of the club.
Yeah, but like, also, so then, and like, yeah, so did that. And so I got a job at a salon. I was working there and I was like, well, you know, college is so important to me. What did I know? And went to college 2 days a week and worked behind the chair 3 days a week. And I did that for 2 years. And then I realized that the person teaching me business in college did never own a business. Mm-hmm. And I was making more than him as a 19-year-old doing hair. So I was like, oh, this is backwards. Like, I'm not, no. So
the math
I,
ain't mathin'.
Yeah, it's like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, this is, no. And so that's when I really started to fall in love with the career. I watch, I mean, from everybody telling me that I couldn't do, like, couldn't be successful doing hair. And then at my first mentor, she was 23 making six figures. And I was like, oh shit. Like, if she can do it, I can do it. Mm-hmm. So then I started getting really passionate, really competitive. And then I was able to do $165,000 on a W-2 as a 21-year-old. And I was like, oh, I got to tell everybody.
That's amazing.
Like, I have to tell everybody, like, you can do hair. I worked 4 days a week. I loved what I did. I made people feel pretty. I was, like, their rock star. You know, they come in and they'd be like, oh, my God, Whitney, do whatever you want. Like, aww. You know, and so then it's, like, you make them feel pretty and you're making great money. It's flexible. Like, it was just, like, an all-around win. And I loved it. I didn't have any responsibility. I came in. I did my work. I did social media somewhat and, like, went home and I was making, like, 6K paychecks. Like,
amazing.
Was like, this is the life. Like, that's what I want to do. So the salon environment I was in was just really toxic, not great for me. And the leadership wasn't taking much advice. I was like, please make it better. And she was like, she's like, it's only at the top and donkeys are my donkeys and thoroughbreds are my thoroughbreds. And I was like, okay, well, it's time for me to go run with the thoroughbreds, okay?
What the fuck?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was like, I gotta go with
this.
Like
you
that.
Next.
Yeah.
Did she actually say
no,
that?
She, word for word. Yeah.
There's some quotes you never forget in your life.
Yeah. 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 I said, well, you hired a bunch of donkeys.
Yeah.
And
I'm out of here.
I gotta go. So...
No.
I interviewed at other commission salon jobs. Like, I really still wanted to work for somebody.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, I was like, I like this gig. Like, I want to keep doing this. I just need a better salon. And I interviewed at several commission salons and there just wasn't one that like felt like an up move, like a move.
Yeah.
Up. So I was like, okay, like that's not working. And my friend had, she went into Booth Rental and she was like, just come to this like suite with me in downtown Fort Worth. I was like, like, I'll come check it out, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was a good salon that was, like, kind of mixed. Like, it had, it was Booth Rental, but they had amenities like a front desk and towel service and things like that. So it didn't feel so daunting to, like, jump over to that. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'll do it. I felt like if there's not the environment that I want, I'm just going to have to create it. So that's when I started over there, and I was always used to working
with
this.
What year was that when
this
you quit
was
your W-2?
2019.
Okay.
Yeah, so 5 years ago.
So all of our entrepreneurial journeys kind of started at the same time.
That's
sorry.
Crazy.
What's going on in the ethers at that time?
Yeah.
I need to look back.
I mean, a lot.
Yeah. And so then I just had like one assistant and then, which is Marissa, pink hair, Marissa.
Oh,
and so, she's still with me to this day. And it was like, well, I don't want you to leave me. Like, I didn't have a plan. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't out here to build a team. I wasn't like,
right.
Didn't start like that. And I was like, well, I guess you can, like, hang out here and, like, I can't afford to pay you. So, like, if you bring in clients and you make money, great. But, like, I don't have money to, like, pay you hourly to sit around. Like, it was, nothing was legit. Like,
yeah.
I was, like, Apple cashing her for her paychecks. Like, literally didn't know what the fuck I was doing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, well, I guess if I have her, like, and I hired another person, I was like, I may should, like, get a CPA or, like, something. And I'm like, so I'm, like, started, like, talking to professionals and being like, okay, what do you think? And then they're like, yeah, you're not paying them legally. I was like, cool, okay, let me fix that. So, like, slowly but surely just started, like, tying up all of my loose ends and really, like, getting my shit together. And then I've just learned so much since then. And we just started with one and then we had two and three and now we're at nine. And so... we're just building the team, and that's kind of how it got started.
Wow.
That is incredible.
So inspiring. Mm-hmm. You got a coach, though. Like,
oh,
very
right out the gate.
Early
yeah.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the salon I worked at first had a certain type of system that they
mm-hmm.
followed, and I did well. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
the system worked for me. I was making great money at 21 years old, so
yeah.
I was like, that system worked. I want right. to keep doing that. But you had to, like, hire a and I hired them after I had, like, I'd hired three people.
Okay.
So once I'd hired three people and I was like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah, it's actually happening.
Mm-hmm. Like, I went to, like, their conference and then hired a coach and all that kind of thing, so. But I was, like, still, since I'd been raised in those systems, I had, like, already, you know, mm-hmm. continued on with that. So it wasn't, like, a big transition, but, okay. Yeah.
Your society, like, your college conversation from the beginning, I feel like that could be a whole other podcast episode.
Definitely.
Because I just feel like the topic of societal norms and what we're pushed to do is infuriating.
Again, listening to other people's advice. Do we want our lives?
And, like,
and when you're 18, you just don't know.
Yeah,
like,
you're so young. Oh, my God.
Man, I had to raise my hand to go pee a week ago, and now I have to decide what I'm doing for the rest of my life?
Literally.
Yeah.
Tell me, like,
how does
what
that make
sense? So, like, I have grievances with that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I just, like, break the mold. Do your own thing.
Yes.
Like, go down your own path.
Listen to your inner guidance, because you know what you want to do. Go fucking do that.
Or
if
you don't know,
go play.
Explore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Figure
like
it out.
You'll find something that sparks your fire.
Mm-hmm. If I'm not finding the environment that I want to work in, I have to create my own. I feel like that was my common denominator moment.
Yeah.
Like, very similar experience. And I think that's amazing. And I think, like, it's a good reminder to people that, like, if you are unhappy in a situation, there is a solution to the other side. You just have to start thinking outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't get those thoughts naturally. Like, oh, well, I can create my own environment that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And we have, and it's amazing.
It's so fun. I want to just go hang out there all the time. I do sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, here.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's been full circle, like, where it is, you just, like, be there and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And, like, I'm changing people's lives and, like, I'm showing other hairstylists how to have wealthy careers. Like, it's just been, like, full circle, amazing. Like, that's when I have the hard times, which we'll talk about later, because it's Instagram versus reality.
Oh my God.
I do have to go back to my why, and that's my why.
Yes.
It's like, I'm changing lives, I'm making an impact, like, I'm helping these girls, and so,
yeah.
I love that.
Okay, Waylon has been staring at
us. He's our audience.
Oh my gosh, you're so cute.
Oh,
I was like, okay, here I come. Okay, my turn.
What is your
crack journey? Open my drink.
Cheers, everyone.
Yes,
cheers.
Cheers to these conversations.
Aww. Hello, Waylon, my man. How are you?
What was your entrepreneurship journey, Waylon?
Mm-hmm. He's been with me through all of it.
Even Waxy Taxi?
Even Waxy Taxi.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I, growing up, wanted to be a dermatologist. That was my dream. This shirt is actually kind of a representation of, like, why I wanted to be a dermatologist. Waylon is gonna be, like, purring in the microphone. Waylie boy. So, growing up, I always talked about the lifestyle that I wanted to live, and my mom was always telling me, love my mom, but, like, she would tell me that I needed to marry somebody that had that.
Marry
a rich
man.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, what's the highest paying doctor? Dermatologist.
Okay.
So I wanted to be a dermatologist, not because I would make a ton of money. I struggled with acne.
Oh, cool.
Cool. Okay. But I struggled with acne pretty severely, like, kind of my whole life, starting very young. And so I was like, I can help people this way. I can
learn
about it and really, like, make an impact in people's lives.
Yeah.
Help them not struggle through what I went through.
And then also be a rich man.
And be a rich man. Because, mom, I am a rich man.
It all circles back.
And so junior year hits, and I'm like, oh, it's game time. Like, I got to pick a college, and I got to go pre-med, and then I got to go med school, and then I got to go specialty school, and then I got to go residency. And then 12 years later,
literally,
and I'm sitting here as a junior, so 11 years plus kindergarten, so technically 12 years in school, and I thought to myself, can I do this for another 12 years, like, logistically, can
and
I
at
do
that
this?
Is your halfway point.
It's like your whole life.
Yeah, no, literally.
It's like all you can remember.
Yeah.
So you're like, I just have to do this all over
again.
Literally.
And
my
entire school experience, like, I'm outside of the box. I am, like, whimsical. I am floaty fairy over here, over there. I've gotten in trouble my whole life through being a social butterfly. Like, I'm talking all the time. I'm telling people things. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. And that is just not how the school system wants you to be.
No. But for anyone listening, if that's how you are, maybe look into entrepreneurship because these are all perks that make you better.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Entrepreneurship is like, actually something happened today and my new hire, it's her second or third day today, and something happened and I was like, okay, here we go. We got to switch things up. And she goes, oh. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you wake up and you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what's going to happen as an entrepreneur. So, like, you have to be quick. Mm-hmm. Quick mm-hmm. and, like, problem solving and all of that. Okay, mm-hmm. so, anyway, junior year, trying to decide if I want to go down the dermatology route. And I'm like, okay, what do I really want to do? I really want to help people with their skin. I want to create a skincare line. Where is somewhere that I can do that? Like, cosmetic chemistry. Okay, so I'm looking at cosmetic chemistry.
That's so funny. I looked into cosmetic chemistry too.
And then I'm like, okay, not really like super duper smart. Like, I'm intelligent, but like, am I a chemist?
No, I took 2 weeks of chemistry and I was like, fuck that.
So I did chemistry my whole high school career because I thought this whole time I was going to be a doctor. So I was like, you know, taking biology and taking all the science classes.
My first day in a chemistry lab, I think I broke 12 beakers. Oh, and I was like, this really isn't my place.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, like, it's just, yeah. So I was like, okay, definitely not a cosmetic chemist. But I found this degree at this fashion institute.
FITM?
Yes.
I looked into FITM.
I looked into
the LA location.
I went to FITM.
Yeah.
Wait, I did not know you went to FITM. I knew you went to school in LA. Yeah. Okay.
So I went to FITM for beauty industry marketing. We had one cosmetic chemistry class, and I went with the hopes of creating a skincare line. So I'm in school, not super loving it. I had kind of similar experiences, except they were getting paid way too much and knew way too little.
Yeah.
The woman who was in our spa and wellness, the woman who was teaching our spa and wellness class, on the very first day, she comes into class and she's giving her credibility speech, right? Her credibility for teaching how to run a spa is that she goes to a lot of spas.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is a class that I actually want to know about because this is something that I might actually want to do. And, like, here we are running mm-hmm. a spa. Like, I'm doing it. So that was my college education. I was not super impressed with it, but I got a marketing degree specific to the beauty industry, which is very, very valuable. Mm-hmm. But outside of school, like when I graduated, so I was working as a digital marketing coordinator for a skincare company, doing email marketing, helping with social media, helping with marketing. And I was like, I gotta be hands-on. I wanna like be with clients. Mm-hmm. And so then I went to aesthetic school thinking I was gonna do facials. I got cleanser in my sister's eye, and I was like, oh, no, this is not for me. And so waxing, just like, it's quick, it's fast paced, it's, you can be loud, you can be here, there, everywhere. It's very like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just like fell in love with waxing. I was the only one brave enough to like do services on clients. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like my journey to find waxing. Me not even like having been naked in front of anybody for like my whole life ever. Right. I go and get a job somewhere and like my first 2 weeks are shadowing my mentor, and I've seen now
all of the vaginas,
like hundreds of vaginas, and I was like, okay, here we go. This is all what right. I'm doing now, I guess. Like, I didn't even think that like Brazilian waxing would be what I would be doing as a waxer, because in school you don't learn that.
Yeah.
At least at my school we didn't learn that. Yeah. Some schools
I don't
learn
really. That. Yeah, we never went. It was like facial, like waxing,
underarm, back, chest, legs.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm waxing. I'm at this studio doing Brazilian waxing, and like that's now my life. And kind of the same thing as your story, like, I think I've had a similar experience my whole life entering spaces, and I just am misunderstood, I think, a lot of the time. I am, like, very cheerful and bubbly and welcoming, and I think everybody is as trustworthy as me, and I'm, like, I'm just this warm little, like, I just want to be your buddy, and I think I come on too strong maybe sometimes, and that, like, pushes people away. So, like, in school, growing up, I didn't really have friends. College, I was lucky enough to find like a clique like this. It was nice. And then when I went to my first job outside of beauty school, I just was not on their wavelength. I was just not the cool girl. I was always treated like the new girl. She's right out of school. And like, I remember one day I had one brow complaint, and they pulled me into a room. They didn't want to single me out, so they pulled everyone into this room, and then they made us go one by one doing each other's brows, and I'm like, I know it's about me, and I'm literally shaking. I'm so nervous, and I'm just like, this does not make me feel comfortable, and they were like, you gotta do it, and I was like, this is terrible.
Is that how you coach someone?
No, so that's been something whenever I train someone, like, I just want to make sure that they feel confident in their skills, and I think it made me a very good trainer, but that was, like, traumatic for me. I lasted there for 2 years, and then I went on to start my own business because I was like, I can do this better. I really think that it can be different. I think clients can be treated with the utmost respect, and I think team members can also be treated very, very kindly. Like, it doesn't have to be this toxic environment, what we are used to in the beauty industry. So kind of, like, forced out of that. I mean, I guess I could have stayed, but I'm super, like, super impacted by my environment. I can't really stay in places that make me feel uncomfortable.
You're spending 40 hours a week there. Like, it will never cease to amaze me the people who just, like, settle in careers and they're like, it's fine, it's just work. And I'm like, yeah, it's 40 hours of your life every week. Like, I'm gonna be happy. I don't know about you.
And I mean, like, the services that I was taught and my technique is amazing. Like, they got that down. Mm-hmm. That is one thing I'm like, y'all know what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. But the environment, and that environment's big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I have a lot of wins for my first place.
Yeah.
Like, things that I could definitely, that I've taken with me for sure. But it was mostly environment. It was, like, leadership, culture, and long-term growth opportunities.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, so how do I make more money? Like, do more hair. And I'm like,
So I'm capped out when I, like, can't sleep anymore?
Yeah. And then, like, are we going to do this for 30 years? Like,
my body's already, like, developing carpal tunnel.
Yeah. Like, am I going to be, like, 60 behind the chair? Like, it just didn't feel, like, sustainable.
Yeah.
So, definitely feel that.
Mm-hmm. So, my first dream was a mobile waxing studio. So, I started Waxy Taxi. I bought a Snap-on truck. So, like, equivalent to, like, a FedEx truck, UPS truck. Mm-hmm. We never got around to renovating it. It is now a food truck. So, that's cool. We don't own it. Like, somebody else, my parents sold the truck, and they started, like, a Thai food place in Montana, so that's cute.
I love that. Do you go back and visit it every once in a while?
No, but I should. Next time I'm up there, I should definitely go get some Thai food. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I did
what
Waxy
year was
Taxi.
That?
I started Waxy Taxi January 1st of 2020.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Very synchronistic
that's
timelines
so
here.
That's so crazy, because you didn't know the pandemic was happening in January.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
No. And so 3 months in, I got shut down, and I was like, What am I gonna do?
Heck,
yeah.
And I was that same year looking for trucks to do a mobile hair salon because I thought, because I thought nobody was going back to a salon.
Wow.
Like, this is like back in the day when, like, when we were still wiping down our groceries. I was like,
Clorox.
I was like, nobody's gonna want me in their face ever again.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's gonna want to be in a salon, like, with other people, because I had a little suite with three chairs in one room. I'm like, nobody's gonna want to be in the same room together.
Too close quarters.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I'll just get a truck, like a FedEx truck, and, like, and make it a whole.
Yeah.
I go to
you. Such a fun idea, and it's been executed a couple times very well. And kudos to those people. But like, it's a lot of work.
Yes. And then I thought about driving it.
Yeah.
And I don't even like driving.
You have
myself.
To get, like, your CDL license.
So I was like,
yeah.
How does, like, water sources? Although I guess people travel.
It would be a whole thing. You'd have to, like,
install
yes,
water.
It'd be a whole thing.
It would be definitely a lot easier for a waxer because we don't use water.
Right.
But, like, shampoo.
Yeah, very much water.
You have to have a bathroom on board. And then, the generator, you know, like, having the power.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah, we looked into solar. Yeah. But, yeah, that was Waxy Taxi. So I got shut down March 18th. I was literally waxing someone, and I went out of my appointment, and I was like, well, I can't rebook you because I don't know when I can open again. And, like, the state literally threatening my license if I wanted to wax anybody, like, this is illegal, your license will be taken from you. And I was like, what? This is my livelihood. Are you kidding me? So I was
all a fever dream, honestly.
I was waiting tables too at the time, and we did really good with our marketing at that restaurant to,
like, COVID
get
friendly.
our to-goes. So our to-goes were, like, booming, and it was a family-owned business, and God, I loved that job. It was so much fun. But that job saved me throughout COVID because I was shut down for 2 months waxing wise.
Yeah. We were shut down for 2 months too. Like the whole, everybody.
Yeah. My brother-in-law and my sister who live here in Texas, they came to visit. My brother-in-law here was like, you should move to Texas because it's warmer year-round. And like the waxing scene would be way better for you. Like the beauty industry, people in Texas like the way they look. You should move to Texas. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And
here we are. You made it to Texas.
I made it to Texas. So I started writing the business plan actually like a week after he mentioned that to me for the bush. Because I was like, waxy taxi doesn't resonate with my soul anymore. I'm not really invested in the mobile. Mm-hmm. So I started the bush, and that is a whole nother like 6 hour story. Like we don't need to get into that. But yeah. We're here.
Yes.
We made it.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. But, okay, so let's get to the meat and potatoes of this, yes. I was going to say recipe.
Of this recipe.
Of this experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instagram versus reality.
Yes, ma'am.
So, actually, wait. Yeah. Should we talk about our whys first? Because your why is, like Whitney said, what you're going to come back to every time you're having a panic attack at 3 a.m. and just wanting to throw it all down.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you find yourself being envious of people who do have the 9-to-5 and get to clock out.
The normal people. Yeah. I called my best friend a couple weeks ago and I was like, I want to be a normal person. And he was like, you don't want to be a normal person. You're doing something, Adrian. Go do it.
But for like a day.
I know.
Right, actually, one day.
Yeah. Are you telling me I don't have to wake up with like a weight on my chest?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my brother was, I was in Florida visiting my brother, and it was like a Wednesday at 10 a.m. and I was going to the beach, and he was like, wow, must be nice to just like do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. And I was like, I didn't even have the time to like,
yeah, get into it,
snap back,
explain how totally wrong that was. I was like, it is.
Yeah, I'm just really
like, it is.
Like, there's
like how
totally,
we got coffee the other day.
Yes, like at 10 a.m. on a Friday, like we're going to get coffee. Like, of course, that is like perks for sure. But what they don't see is like the 10:30 at night screaming into your pillow, or like
sobbing daily.
Yes, or like waking up like
That's me. That's my experience.
Yeah. Sorry. I do sob, but I don't. I'm not as big of a crier, but. You know,
I've gotten better.
Oh, good. I mean, I think it's good to cry. It's a good release.
I think
it's better to let go.
My life has gotten better.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
All relative.
My therapist is like, so triggers, are they coming up? Like, are you crying? Like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't have any triggers in my life right now.
There is no better therapy session than entrepreneurship.
Right. You said that when we first met you. Mm-hmm. You said that.
I live by it.
I was like, that's iconic.
I should
get that on
knit it on a pillow.
Yeah.
I don't knit, but yes. Dress, or what is it like?
Cross stitch.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. Someone cross stitch on a pillow.
That's cute. Me already thinking the business.
There we go.
Okay, yeah. Let's do it.
Funny saying.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One of my clients got me back in Colorado. She cross stitched me a peach that said "dead ass."
No, it's up in the
room.
Yeah, I love that sign.
Yeah, it's from one of my clients.
We should start a cross stitching business and call it Swear Jar, and everything is funny sayings with curse words.
Love it.
There we go.
Love it. In our free time, you know?
Patented. All rights reserved.
Yes. I'll get on the LLC.
There we go.
Do we need the domain?
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
We've got Instagram.
Our
why. You say your why.
Yes, our whys.
So I feel like it goes back into like kind of what I was feeling growing up a lot of the times, how I felt like an outcast, and even in the beauty industry, I've kind of felt like nobody really gets me. I don't know. I just feel like I just am outside of this box that they are trying to put me in.
I understand.
Yeah. So walking into a waxing studio, knowing that you are going to take your pants off in 10 minutes in front of this complete stranger, the level of being welcomed needs to be like at a 10, maybe at an 11 on a 1 to 10 scale. You know, you need to walk in and feel at home in order to feel comfortable. And that is my biggest goal. I want everybody that walks into the bush or anywhere in my life, like whether it's this business, my next or my 10th, I want everybody to feel seen, heard, loved, valued. And these are all things that like me growing up wanted. So So that's like my why. It's very deep within my soul. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I do, like within my business coaching, that is what I want. I want all of these new estheticians to feel so heard and so validated. That's my why.
I love that.
I love it.
Thank you.
Mine, I feel like, is honestly very similar. Different flavor, but similar, because I had similar experiences growing up. I have a very great relationship with my family, but I'm the black sheep of the family. Like, straight up. And, like, I don't have blue hair right now, but I did for, like, years. right before I met y'all is when it changed.
No, I'm so mad I didn't see it in person, because I've seen it on Instagram.
It was
and
good.
Every time I'm like...
No,
I saw it.
It was good.
Yes, whatever you posted the other day, I was like...
That's so cool.
I mean, I'll come see you in
May. No, literally, I was like...
Beth's wedding is May 3rd.
Yeah, okay. May 4th.
May the 4th be with blue.
Oh my god! Wait! An Instagram post. Immediately. Get it.
Damn it. You're going to be back in town probably, but that's...
Maybe though. Who knows? Yes. I mean, hey, we're entrepreneurs.
We're stylists.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down.
Okay, sorry.
Blue will be coming back. We're not done with that story yet.
No.
But the hairstylist, and you will actually cringe a little bit, probably, for what I'm about to say. So brace yourself, but I have just always felt different. I am the black sheep of my family, and I love that, and they love me for it, but, like, I am just different, and I remember having these feelings of just, like, for me, like, my main why centers around two words: don't settle. And when I was little, like, I knew I was different, and I knew I wanted to stand out, but I just couldn't figure out how, as, like, a little 6-year-old, an 8-year-old. And my mom even tells me that when I was, like, young, like, 6, 7, 8, I would sneak into the pantry, and I would steal Kool-Aid. And I would try to dye my brown hair with red and blue Kool-Aid because I just wanted to have a different color hair than everyone at school.
Yeah.
And it never worked. Yeah. Except for the black cherry. It would give me like a tint.
Yeah.
But I tried so hard. that one worked a little bit. But I just always wanted to be different. And I always just wanted to like express myself and be myself. And I've always been very creative, whether it be through makeup or painting or any medium. So growing up, the other part of my story is, like, just seeing my dad, who obsessed with, like, love my parents. My dad is a lawyer, and he's been very successful in his career, and he is, like, amazing. However, I remember growing up watching him play on these, like, 3D architecture programs on our computer. Mm. And he would just, like, build these houses and, like, create these layouts. And I remember asking my dad when I was younger, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You aren't an architect. And he was like, well, that's like my dream job. I always wanted to be an architect. But when he was like going to school and figuring out what he was going to be and what he was going to do, my parents had, I don't know the exact like timeline of all of this, but like my dad finished law school with like when my parents had like my first two siblings.
Okay.
So like they were already in their 20s, but he was like, I chose law school because it was the responsible thing to do. I had a family to take care of, and I just knew that it would provide,
mm-hmm.
which like is super respectful and like respectable, I mean, and like it's amazing. But I just remember in that moment being very sad because I was like, why couldn't you do what you love and make a lot of money?
Yeah.
You know, which like little me didn't understand the world, but like I just remember that was a defining thing for me. And I would never want my dad to take that in the wrong way because I got my work ethic from him, like watching him and what he did. But I always knew that I was like, no, I want to create a life I'm obsessed with. I don't want to feel like I have to settle. Like you work at your job for so many hours.
Yeah, it's your
life. It's your life. And I want people to be able to like stand out and express themselves and like not be afraid to be who they are. Even if they are the girl with blue hair and tattoos who lives in South Louisiana and definitely doesn't look like everyone around her, you know? So I was, that is my why. And I do design and like branding and web design, which doesn't feel necessarily fully related, but like, I feel like helping people create a life they love and getting to be a part of your story by helping you create your logo, create your brand messaging, create your website. Like,
and
that's it
that
for
stands
me.
Out.
Yeah.
And it's something that stands out. We want to make it uniquely you, be different from the rest of the marketplace, and like, that's it. Don't settle.
Don't settle.
Be yourself.
Yeah,
oh,
and you're really
that.
Just helping, like, you're fulfilling your destiny by helping other people fulfill theirs.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. And I get to be creative all day.
Yeah, you're expressing yourself, and their brand gets to express itself.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said earlier, a lot of people come to you and you're like, how did you know that's what I wanted?
Yeah.
Like, you have a gift. You've got a talent.
I'm good at reading between the lines with
what
people, like, don't say and kind of, like, looking beyond and being like, you're playing small with thinking that you want this. and kind of going from
there.
They
just need a little risk taker in their life.
Yeah, and like the mindset side of me too likes to dig deep into like, why do you think you need to make that decision?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this.
Yeah. I love mindset work. I think entrepreneurship is like, you can't have it without mindset. You know, you can't.
Not well.
Oh, no. Especially if you want a team.
Oh, my gosh. They will literally latch onto your insecurities and make them shine so bright, and you got to fix that shit real quick.
Yes. Yeah. And
otherwise,
like,
they're all going to leave you.
Yeah.
The way you just, like, deadpan stared into the ground.
Not that I've ever experienced
Not
that.
From personal experience.
Literally had a girl walk out of me firing her say to me, I hope you heal whatever is going on. I hope you figure out whatever shit you've got going on. I can't remember what she said, but...
And then threw the key at you.
Threw the key at me. It's okay. We all have our things.
We do.
We've all got shit, but that doesn't mean you get to throw it on other people.
Right. Yeah.
We're not monkeys.
No.
I love monkeys.
What is your why, Whit?
So, my why is... I mean, the reason I started... the team and started the business was really because I felt like it could be done better, and I wanted to like prove that to the world. I'm like, no. There's too many bad things, especially with like the legacy system of the beauty industry, how it's so dog eat dog world, competitive versus community. Like there wasn't, so I was like, we got to show people that we can do it better. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one of my bosses telling me that if you have a pot of boiling water and you put a bunch of male lobsters in the pot, that they will form a ladder and get everybody out of the pot. Oh. But if you put a pot of female, or if you put female lobsters in the pot of boiling water, they will all claw at each other and they'll all die.
Dark.
Yeah. And so that just was explained to me of like, that's just how women work.
Wow.
And women, yeah, women.
It's really graphic.
Yeah, and like,
it gets the point across, yeah, though.
That, like, women can't, like, you know, work well together and support each other. And I was like, no. No, I'm not accepting that.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I think we can. Like, I think we can do it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I want to spearhead that. And then just, like, fixing a lot of, like, I think a natural, like, problem solver, and like, so I want to like fix a lot of the things where I'm like, that's not right. Like, we could have a better guest experience, we could have a better stylist experience in a salon. But truly, it was like that first ding 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 moment for me where I was like, oh shit, there's so many people that are telling people not to go to hair school, and I'm making a shitload of money at 21 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like the, I have to tell everybody about this. Like, I want other people to also see that they can use this industry to make life-changing capital for themselves. Like, because I was able to make good money, I was able to invest in houses and invest in the stock market and invest, like, I was able to do those things that, like, have set me up. So it's like, I want to show that way to other people and, like, just use what I've learned to, like, help the next generation to, like, do the same.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. You know what? Like, to change the beauty industry is a huge, audacious goal. Mm-hmm. But two generations ago, I can't remember the exact statistics, but it was like over 50% of Americans were growing their own food. Today, two generations later, 2%.
I believe that fully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like crazy. So mm-hmm. two generations is all it took to totally fall out of line with human nature, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thanks, technology.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it can be done. I think mm-hmm. changing the industry, changing the way people feel about mm-hmm. the industry, and like making a fucking wave, like mm-hmm. not just a ripple.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Yeah. And I'm just like not going to stop until.
No,
I definitely
know that. My goal when I started. Probably Waxy Taxi. This was more so my goal because I was like very delusional and I had never owned a business before. But I was like, I'm going to take European Wax Center down. And now I think about it and I'm like, maybe I actually am. Maybe I'm going to hire people, teach them how to run a business, send them out on their way, and all of these independent estheticians mm-hmm. will take down the big guy.
Yeah. or make their own salons where, yeah. you know, it's like, yeah, because there mm-hmm. is one big guy mm-hmm. and...
Mm-hmm. And it's not a cool place to work and it's not a cool place to get waxed. No. It's just, it is the industry standard and mm-hmm. it's not a very high, like, bar that we are...
Yeah.
I worked there for, like, 3 years in college.
I'm so sorry. No. I'm probably, like, sitting on it.
No, I'm actually, I'm like, I know it personally. Everything I'm saying is accurate. I'm like...
I've never stepped foot into a European wax center. I've never experienced it.
Oh, that was my first waxing experience.
I mean, I will say it was a bomb college job. Bonuses were lit.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, my God, yeah. But... this natural salesman in me, which I guess, like, again, universe was like, yeah. you can do this. Yeah. Like,
you're good at this.
I worked front desk. I never waxed people, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything you're saying is
I mean, it's just like the man. It's just like anything. Yeah. Like, Walmart, Target, you know.
Yeah.
KFC came to my mind. I don't know why KFC came to my mind, but if you want to do fried chicken, do fried chicken. Yes. Take that to KFC.
Yeah. Honestly, though.
So maybe, yeah, like, that ripple can really cause a huge wave and make change.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so excited for it to unravel. We mm-hmm. also haven't gotten to Instagram versus reality at all.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This might be a two-parter.
Maybe.
Or if you're still with us.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. I think I'm gonna, let's cut it right now. So yeah, let's say bye. Bye.
Thank
you so much for listening to Beauty in the Bush. I love and adore you guys so much. I hope you loved this episode as much as I loved creating it. Feel free to leave me a review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can even subscribe to my YouTube channel where we have the live version of these podcast episodes if that floats your boat. Make sure you're following over on Instagram at the_SDpreneur for all the behind the scenes within my 6-figure brick and mortar beauty business, as well as my online coaching business for beauty professionals. I look forward to connecting with you there, and I will talk to you in next week's episode. Bye.